Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Scary Cast Tuesday, a very interesting show tonight. We've got an incredible guest, some incredible investigative reporting, and your normal co-hosts. So first of all, from Houston, Texas, my hero, thanks to last weekend, and he got me out of a pinch by playing the Grinch. That rhymed. Collar Smith, how are you doing tonight, Collar?
That was much better than the one we told in the beginning.
What do you mean?
The joke from earlier. I thought that even just a little rhyming right there was a little bit better than that. The joke you told earlier.
Come on, man. This is a dad joke, and it's the best I can do, you know? But anyway, Kyler, first of all, thank you. It's a privilege to have you on our show as a co-host. In fact, you're a co-host of Scary Cast Monday and Scary Cast Tuesday. We value your input, and we're glad you're here. So, and thanks. Here's what happened. My Grinch bailed on me for the Jacksonville Christmas Pop Swap and Comic-Con. So Kyler kindly said, sure, I'll play the Grinch. And he was popular. Oh, Kyler, tell everybody how popular you were with those kids.
Well, as soon as they saw me coming out, I don't think they left my side. So it was a little unexpected, but it was kind of hilarious to see their reaction to the Grinch showing up randomly. It was fun.
Well, it wasn't random. The Grinch was promised at noon, and the Grinch showed up, so that was great, and thank you very much. Anyway, we're glad to have you here, all joking aside. I'm sorry, we're having too much fun tonight, because we always have fun on Scary Cast. Matt Delph, investigative reporter. How are you tonight, Matt?
I'm doing great.
Well, you know what? You are truly our investigative reporter. You are truly the boots on the ground dude. And I want to let everybody know that this past weekend, you were on assignment in the most romantic and the most frightening town in the world, none other than New Orleans, Louisiana. Matt, talk about what happened. And by the way, everybody can go to Scarycast on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Scarycast. And you can see a picture Matt took at one of the most famous clubs in the world. Tell us about it, Matt. Investigator.
All righty.
Boots on the ground, buddy.
I'm still here in New Orleans currently. But I had arrived, and so in historical downtown, the French Quarters is where I got a room at, which was pretty cool. And my room, I've got pictures of it on Facebook. It's like an old, creepy, spooky type room. It's, you know, it's got a balcony. You walk in there, and it's got an old brick fireplace inside my room. It's just old. You can just see the history all around this place. But what was pretty wild is when I first get here, it didn't take no time. So I finally get to my room. And a friend of mine, she knew that I was coming down here, and she's a country music artist, Beverly Pendleton. So I'm talking to her, and she's trying to warn me, you know, be careful down here, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm on the phone to her, and while I'm on the phone to her, I look down, and I just got in the room, and there is this footprint that appears on the floor, and it was adult size. I was like, what the heck? And I'm like, telling her, hold on a second, I got to take a picture. There's a footprint inside the room. So I take a picture of it. Then I go and I look again. I'm like, now, wait a second. It just totally vanished, completely gone. And it had been raining outside. So I don't know if something come in the door with me or what, but it only had four toes. And it left a footprint, and then it just the water evaporated within, like, no time. And I still had my shoes on. It wasn't my foot. I still had my shoes on from coming into the room, first getting there. So that started off the tone right from the get-go. And then I had been looking up some of the history of this area. And this one place I was really wanting to check out, they don't allow you to take videos or pictures inside this little bar, and it's called The Dungeon. And so I get a looking, and a lot of people know there's a lot of vampire lore around New Orleans. So I'm like, well, I wonder why you're not allowed to take pictures and video, you know? Everybody today, you know, with their phones and stuff. So I get a looking through the things, and supposedly they reported that the reason that you're not allowed to is because an old vampire hangs out in there. And I've seen that on a bunch of reviews, people from locals, stuff like that. So, of course, I'm all in. I'm like, heck yeah, let's go find a vampire. But this town is notorious for all the vampire stuff. You know, you got Anne Rice's house not too far from here. Of course, her interview with the vampire, a lot of her stories take place in New Orleans here. So I get in there last night, and it's pretty wild. They put a picture. So I take a picture when I'm first going in, but as soon as I get up to, once you have to go down this alley, and it is really super narrow. So I'm going down this alley, and I mean, if I stand normal, my shoulders are rubbing on both sides of the wall. I had to kind of turn at an angle to walk down through there. And like you said, you got a picture on Scarycast, and there's one on my Facebook page too. Once I get through that alley, then I get to the door, and first thing they do is they're like, no videos, no pictures, blah, blah, blah. And so I get inside there, and it's super dark. There are, like, no lights on in there. Only thing you got is a little bit around the bar. They got some pretty creepy little exhibits in there. One of them's like some weird, like, skulls and just a bunch of creepy stuff. It's a pretty cool place. And so I get hanging out in there, and it's not very busy. I mean, it's not real packed in there last night. But I ended up staying till it closed. So I start talking to the locals, and they said that the vampire, they said that was a true story, that he did hang out in there, but he's no longer hangs out in there very often at all, if at all anymore, because too many tourists come through there. So they told me that what I need to do is talk to some of these homeless people. There's an old Navy base here, and I need to talk to some of the homeless people and just be respectable, of course, you know. And they've seen a lot of stuff, and they can tell you, point you in whatever direction you want. Whatever you're looking for here, they can point you in that direction. So that'll be a story for another time. But so far,
okay,
it's
pretty
cool.
We'll have another scary cast for your experiences in the most romantic and enchanted town in America, New Orleans, Louisiana. So anyway, just glad to have you here. And tonight, we have a wonderful, wonderful guest. She is an amazing lady. She does great things. She has a number of podcasts, and we're so lucky to have her tonight, the one and only Jessica Jones. How are you doing tonight, Jessica?
Hey, John. Hey, everybody. I'm doing awesome. How are y'all?
I think we're good, and we're very glad that you're here with us tonight. So anyway, tonight you're going to talk about one of our favorite mysteries, the Loveland Frogman. Loveland being a suburb area of Cincinnati, Ohio. And I wanted to let everybody know that one reason we're talking about this is I am involved as one of the two organizers of the Loveland Frogman Festival in Cincinnati, which is coming up March the 3rd this coming year. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of publicity about it. We have asked Jessica Jones to be a speaker there, and it's going to be great, and I hope she can make it. She'll let us know about it soon enough. So anyway, Jessica, thanks for being here, and tell us a little bit about the Frogman.
All right, John. Well, I know a little bit about it. I did a I had a show called Remote Viewing Investigations with Jessica Jones, and all those shows are posted on my YouTube channel, The Cryptid Huntress. Okay, so I am extensively trained in remote viewing with my Bigfoot field research team based out of Georgia here. And actually, I go out Bigfooting with Matt Delf sometimes, don't I, Matt? So,
I can get you away.
We do. Yep, that's right. So I have a lot of fun remote viewing paranormal, cryptids and Bigfoot attacks and Dogman and all sorts of weird, inhumanoids is what we like to call them. And
inhumanoids. And Jessica, that's a great term, inhumanoids. Mm-hmm. That's something I just learned from you. In fact, I was talking to a buddy of mine from Indiana, and I said, I am learning so much from you. He said, but John, you've got a doctorate. I said, a doctorate really means that you are addicted to learning. And so inhumanoids, that's a great term. I've already got it written down.
Well, I can't take credit for that. I have to give credit to Barton Nunnally. He is based out of Kentucky. He does a lot of research up at the Land Between the Lakes. Mm-hmm. And he's written books called he actually wrote a book called The Inhumanoids. And it's amazing. So check that out when you get a chance. I told him I'm going to have to check.
And I got to say this. I'm going to be interviewing Saturday night a special Scary Cats Extra, a very good friend of his, Elijah Henderson. I don't know if you know Elijah, but I need to introduce you to him.
I don't know him yet, but I know him. I know who he is.
Right, and so that everybody knows, his parents were some of the most famous investigators of Land Between the Lakes up in Kentucky. And Elijah is like, whenever I need somebody to talk to me that is authoritative, Elijah Henderson seems to really know what he's talking about. So we're going to talk about shapeshifters. I know a lot of people can talk about shapeshifters, but I always like to talk to Elijah because he lives in that magical, enchanted, and very dangerous area of the Land Between the Lakes. So, yeah. In fact, he's going to introduce me to Bart Nunnally, and he loves Bart Nunnally to death. He thinks he's great. So anyway,
I just want to say thank you for that
shout out to Bart. And I can't wait to meet him. And so I can tell Bart that two of his friends have recommended that I talk to him.
Oh yeah, Barton's the best. He's awesome. But he is the person who brought that to my attention that they're inhumanoids, not cryptids, when it comes to Bigfoot and Dogman. So I told him I'm going to have to change my name to the Inhumanoid Huntress. Okay. I'm going to have to rebrand. All right. So I haven't started the rebranding process yet. I'm still the Cryptid Huntress. But nonetheless, I believe that the Loveland Frogmen are a type of amphibious inhumanoid. Okay. And I'm going to get into my data in just a minute because I did remote view what these creatures are. And what I like to do is to see if these are even real, if what we're talking about in these stories were a figment of someone's imagination or if they were actually creatures, you know, flesh and bone, or, you know, whatever kind of skin reptiles have, and amphibians, I don't know. But yeah, skin and bone and all that kind of stuff. And I did find that these things are real. And these incidents did happen that I'm about to tell you guys about. So let's go ahead and start. Okay, so the Loveland Frogman, okay, it was just the Frogman is what I was looking at, but it turns out there's a whole bunch of these things. So we're going to call them the Loveland Frogmen. It's an interesting cryptid in Ohio folklore, because these are up in Ohio. It's been spotted in Loveland, Ohio several times since the first sighting. Back in 1955, on May the 5th, a traveling salesman was driving along a road late at night, and he spotted three humanoid figures on the side of the road. Now, he described them as being around 4 feet tall. They were standing erect on their hind legs with leathery skin and frog faces. They looked like frogs. He claimed that they were standing under a dimly lit bridge, and one of them had a wand over its head that fired a spray of sparks. Okay, so first of all, it's a little odd. It's odd enough seeing some humanoid frog people on the side of the road, but it's even more weird that one of them had a magic wand that sprayed out some sparks when he rode past it. All right, well, in March of 1972, around 1 a.m., a Loveland police officer was driving on Riverside Drive near the Totes Boot Factory and the Little Miami River when he saw an unidentified animal run across the road in front of his vehicle. The animal, he thought it was just an animal. He couldn't figure out what kind of animal it was. He said it scurried across the road in front of his car. It was fully illuminated in his headlights. He described it as about 3 to 4 feet long and about 50 to 75 pounds, and it had leathery skin. He reported spotting the animal crouched like a frog before it momentarily stood up, erect on two legs, to climb over the guardrail and back down towards the river. All right, so let's skip to August 2016. A teenage couple were playing Pokemon Go, okay, famous game, Pokemon Go, near Lake Isabella. And this is a little ways from Loveland. I'm not exactly sure how far it is, but it's a few miles up the road. They were at Lake Isabella when they spotted something very strange. At first, they thought it was a giant frog until it stood up on both legs. One of the teens managed to take a short video and a couple of pictures of what they discovered, but then they saw that what they captured was really grainy. It was just two reflective eyes, so you couldn't really make out what it was. But it was the outline of a bipedal figure, and people question the authenticity of that video, though. Okay, so some states said that it was a hoax. There's even a story of a police officer claiming that he shot the tail off of one of these things. It was actually an iguana, and so he had shot the tail off of one, and people were misidentifying that iguana that he had shot years ago. But nonetheless, the people in Loveland started calling them the Loveland Frogmen. And I had to look into that, y'all. I had to look into it. A frog inhumanoid with a magic wand, okay? I looked into it. And not only did I look into what the frogmen are and what they were, I looked into what that wand was. And, I looked into a couple of different incidences that happened, remote viewing it. And my results were very interesting.
I have a question real quick, if I can jump in.
Go ahead.
How often, you may or may not know this, how often do we have, big lizards just standing on 2 feet like that? I've never seen an iguana stand.
Exactly. Me too. The story's a little odd, right? And the fact that they're up in Ohio, how many lizards are hanging out in Ohio, period? You know, you might see them down, iguanas down in Miami, down in South Florida, but Ohio?
Well, this is Dr. John. Apparently there are a lot of lizards little joke there.
Okay.
Lost business.
Yes. Okay.
Now,
yes,
I got a question,
exactly.
too. Is this, where's Loveland located at in Ohio?
I am not familiar with the state of Ohio, so I have to look at a map. We'll have to pull a map up.
Okay, no, this is Dr. John. It is in the Cincinnati area.
Okay, so it's close to the Ohio River.
Yes.
Okay, because that's a big old river, yeah. There's been similar reports of stuff like that coming out of the Ohio River in between Kentucky and Indiana as well.
All right.
That kind of goes along with it then. Good deal.
Okay, so let's get to the first time they were reported being seen. Okay, this was back in 1955. There was a traveling salesman that was driving through Loveland. He was driving down the road. When I remote viewed the incident of what he saw, this gentleman was driving down the road, and he thought he was seeing yard decorations. Okay, that's what he thought he was seeing. Somebody had left their Christmas decorations out, and that's what he was seeing because he could not wrap his head around what he was looking at. But they were I kept picking up on amphibious reptiles, which really doesn't make sense because amphibians aren't reptiles. But further into my data, I was picking up that these things were actually an alien species, okay? An alien species who actually lived underground in the area, okay? They lived underground in the area. They live down in some – they stay in some caverns underneath the ground, and they are actually bipedal, some sort of an alien, alien species. But what he saw – was real. It wasn't a figment of his imagination. Okay.
Yeah. Now, Jessica, I want to stop here because you're doing, you are reporting something that is a good bit like the Kelly Little Green Men, and that's a very serious sighting of UFOs. Are you familiar with the Kelly Little Green Men?
Hopkinsville, Kentucky, right? The Kentucky Goblins.
That's right, the Hoptown Hoppers.
Yes. I actually did a show on those as well, and I remote viewed them, and I had a fantastic show with some fantastic data on that too. So I can't can't kind of connect the two. They're very they're actually different, but they are both some sort of alien species.
Right. That's what I'm saying is we've got aliens, and they just kind of show up. And that's why I picked the Kelly Little Green Men. In fact, I was supposed to speak at the conference before COVID hit. So, I mean, it was just, you know, whatever.
Well, speaking of just showing up, let's talk about that magic wand, okay? Because the magic wand was it was pretty perplexing. So I actually remote viewed the wand to see what this wand was. And I picked up that it was a device that these little inhumanoid creatures used as part of their job. They were actually working. They're on a mission, okay? And so I was picking up that they had a job to do. And what that man had was a close encounter, but they had a job to do, and that thing had some sort of, like, electricity. It was some sort of – I wouldn't say it was something similar that would open up, like, a portal or something, because let me tell you, my data got really strange. I started picking up on the Montauk Project, okay? Now, I know this happened in 1950.
Excuse me. That's a Lord have mercy. How did the Montauk Project get – I'm sorry.
Well,
just a little exclamation point here.
I know. I'm telling you, y'all, this is weird. This is one of the more – everything I remote view is very weird, but this is super weird. You know, the Montauk Project involved time travel, teleportation, mind control, and contact with extraterrestrials. Okay, so yes, this happened in the sighting was in 1955, but if they are time traveling with the Montauk Project, it could, you know, this project could be in any year, right? I mean, these are time traveling cryptids of some sort, and they have a device which is allowing them to time travel, because that's what I picked up on. And I related it to the Montauk Project when I remote viewed it. So your guess is as good as mine, honestly, as to how to make sense of all this, because it doesn't really make a lot of sense. But I did pick up that they were part of the Montauk Project. Now, were they teleporting, holographic teleportation or something like that? Perhaps. But that is what I picked up in my data. So perhaps, I guess maybe they had gone back and forth through time. I don't know. I'm not sure. It all sounds very odd and very crazy. It sounds even weirder when I'm saying it out loud, okay, much less looking down at my data. But
when I was thinking about when you were saying humanoids, I was or amphibious reptiles, I was immediately thinking of, okay, this sounds like a science project gone wrong and are now just a completely new species of something that someone created.
Yes, and so that's part of my data as well. They were chimeras. They were created, okay? They are some sort of a strange chimera, like an alien species. Now, when I say alien species, and I did specify this on my show that I did about them, an alien species can be, it doesn't have to be extraterrestrial. It can be just something that's not of that, from that area, right?
Right.
So alien species could be pretty much anything. Now, I did get they were coming from underground, caverns underground, So who's to say they're not, you know, created in some facility underground or something, or they have projects going on under there? Who knows? I pick up on that pretty often in some of my targets, especially when I'm remote viewing dogman, areas where dogman have been sighted or dogmen. A lot of times I pick up on underground facilities where they are creating chimeras. And now, is our government doing that? I don't stick around too long to find out. I don't know. I'm already walking on thin ice here. I'm treading on thin ice. So I have to be careful what I say, because I have already had a proverbial knock at my door about making my data public on some of this stuff. But I don't know what's going on. That's why with my data, I can just say that they came from underground and they were chimeras, alien species chimera. Time traveling frog and humanoids. So very, very strange. But yes, I did pick up that they were amphibious reptiles, amphibians and reptiles. Now, there was a police officer named Ray Shockey. He encountered the animal, what he thought was an animal that ran across the road beside the Little Miami River in 1972. Okay, so I believe when he first drove up on it, actually, what I saw was when he pulled up to it, when I was remote viewing it, there was actually an animal curled up in the middle of the road. Okay, it did not take off running across the road when I was remote viewing it. It was actually in the road, curled up like a dead animal. When he pulled up to it, it looked as though someone had hit an animal. And he actually got out of his car to walk towards it to see what it was. He put his headlights on it, and he opened up his door. And as soon as he did, this thing stood up, and it ran on two legs. Now, the reason that it was in the middle of the road, according to my data, is because it was cold outside. It was actually cold outside. This was in March of 1972. And there was a warm spot in the road. And so this thing was actually sitting there trying to get warm. Now, this is actually the target that I was looking at, where I was picking up on a lot of the Montauk Project and black projects, dark projects that are going on. There's something underwater. There's something going on in that area where they are doing experiments. Now, who are they? I don't know. Like I said, it could be our government doing this, especially if it's the Montauk Project that's related to these creatures. It could be pretty much anything. But there's something. There's several of these Loveland frogmen in the area, and they're in what I was picking up on as a family group or a pod. There's a pod of them. Now, a pod, isn't that what you call a family of whales? Like whales or dolphins or something? So, but I was picking up on a pod of them. So, who knows? Who knows?
Yes, I believe that pod has to do with whales and dolphins.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But yeah, it's definitely a humanoid frog is what I was coming up with, like a humanoid frog is what these things are. And they are chimeras, and they are part of some sort of, they were created as part of a special program of some sort. So they just, and they're not violent. Okay. I was trying to get a feel on what their personalities were like and things like that. They just want to be left alone. They're not violent. They are some sort of an unclassified animal, a cryptid, but apparently they had been created as chimeras, at some point, which was kind of sad. I was picking up on like a really sad vibe. Like they don't, they weren't, they're not natural. Do you know what I mean? Like they're not natural. They're not natural beings. So, but they're organic, but they're not like naturally made. They're created.
So you had a feeling that they were sad?
I was sad. I was sad looking at them because they just want to be left alone. It's almost like Bigfoot, Matt, you know, like they don't want people to mess with them. They want to stay away from humans.
If I look like a toad, I'd probably be sad too.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Just kidding.
Totally.
That was bad.
Yeah. Oh man. But you picked a really strange one, Dr. John. This is just a really weird cryptid. In all honesty, there was actually, I'm trying to find my notes here because I remember the officer that came forward to talk about what he saw with the frogman that jumped across the road. It seems like years later, another police officer tried to get him to change, to recount his story, to to take it back, and to say that it was just an iguana that one of the other officers had shot its tail off. And so that's what he saw, was an iguana whose tail had been shot off. So they were trying to backtrack and say, oh, that's not what he saw. It wasn't actually a frogman. It was an iguana. So,
well, the only thing, too, is, mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But the only thing, too, I was thinking about, have you ever seen those lizards or frog things that run across water? They kind of stand up.
The Jesus lizards. Yes. That's right.
That's
what
I was thinking, but I don't think those are very big.
I don't know how big they are, and they have those the neck fins that come out and stuff, and they run. I've heard them called the Jesus lizard before, and they run really fast over the water. So yeah, you're right. That one does run on two legs. But what I was seeing actually looked more like a frog. It didn't look like a lizard. It looked like a gigantic frog. It didn't look like an iguana.
Yeah, I think it'd be kind of cool to see, honestly, because I don't know why I have this strange fascination with frogs, but they just seem so calm and peaceful, just sitting there.
They do. It's so strange. I had a strange obsession with frogs myself from a young age, because when I was really small, my mother bought me one of those blue swimming pools, the plastic pools, when I was a kid, and she was filling it up with water with the garden hose, and I went in to put on my bathing suit, went inside, and I came out, and there were 300 little baby frogs all in my swimming pool, and I never liked frogs again after that, so not that I don't like frogs, but they've always kind of weirded me out because of that when I was a little kid, so, and here I am remote viewing the Loveland Frogmen. And I just picked up there's some sort of a chimera, a type of chimera, an alien species. They're not normal. They're not natural, but they are organic beings. They're here. They're flesh and blood and all that stuff. they're just something that we haven't classified yet, and they just try to stay hidden, just like our Sasquatch friends. So,
Jessica, why do you not think that we have not classified them?
Well, because they're part of some sort of government program. That's my opinion. Just like Dogman, you know, just like there's probably all sorts of cryptids that aren't officially identified because there's something else going on out there that we're not supposed to know about, perhaps.
Oh, no. Is there something else going on out there? Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I would say so. Now, do I know positively? No. Do I think so? Yes. That's my opinion.
Well.
I come across that in a lot of my remote viewing data.
I can tell you something. I positively know it. When the men in black knock on my door in 1989, I know something's up. And so I know positively there's something going on. But anyway.
Yeah, well, I've been warned myself. So I believe it's so.
Well, I don't know that I was exactly warned. I was interrogated, but that's okay. Anyway, it's all good. So this is your take on the Loveland Frogman. And so what we're going to do, Jeff Craig is the proprietor of Map in Black. It's a really cool project. He's got a 4-foot by 3-foot map, and he's got an icon for every available paranormal sighting that he can find. And it's really cool. It's a beautiful thing, and he sells it for like $20. And I met him, and Jessica, can I tell you the story of how I met Jeff Craig?
Yes, please.
Okay, this is really kind of cool. So what happens is I was at the Withville UFO Festival. And I don't know if anyone's ever heard of it. Withville was the center of a sighting 35 or 36 years ago now of some UFOs. So it's really kind of cool. So I was up there, and I had a table, and I had a guest, Logan Gardner, who has had a UFO sighting. And he's in my latest edition of the book, Look Up in the Sky, 3rd edition. So I'm out there. I'm just going around meeting all the vendors, getting business cards, because that's what I do since I run Comic-Cons and festivals. So the very last person that I said hello to was a gentleman that had 5 booths. It was Jeff Craig from Cincinnati. And I went up and I said, hello, how are you doing? And he stopped. He looked at me, and he kind of froze. He said, didn't I see you last night on the History Channel? And I laughed. I said, yeah, you probably did. It was on Unexplained with William Shatner. He said, oh, my God, yes, it was. So he jerks me around behind his table, and he takes a selfie with me. Like I'm somebody famous. I'm just some dude that was on but it was a lot of fun. And so he told me about the fact that they had the Loveland Frogman up there in Cincinnati area, and he had always wanted to do a festival, but he didn't know what to do, and he noticed that on the television show, I mentioned that I had run Comic-Cons and festivals. So he looked at me, and he said, well, what do I do? I've got this great project, and I want to present it to the city of Cincinnati. And the first thing I said was, don't you dare do that, number one. They'll take it over if it's successful. Or number two, if they don't do any work and it's not successful, it'll go away. So why don't you just do it with me? I was just saying that and shook my hand, and that was it. And that was the beginning of the Loveland Frogman Festival. So it's great. And from what I understand, there's a possibility that Jessica Jones might be a speaker up there.
Yeah, that would be fun. I'm going to try to make it. I got to check my calendar. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, good. Absolutely. And we hope you can make it. So that's a little bit about how the Loveland Frogman Festival got created. And number two, just, you know, it's been great to have you to talk about the Loveland Frogman and your experiences with remote viewing on it. So now I want to ask, first of all, Kyler, if you've got a question, and Matt, if you've got a question. So, Kyler, do you have a question for Jessica about the Loveland Frogman or anything else we've discussed tonight?
Let's see. So this, you were talking about a video that was kind of given a lot of criticism. Where might you find this video?
Yeah, you know, I'm not exactly sure. I have to look through my notes here. It's been a while since I did this story. So, but there was a couple, let me see. There was a couple, in August of 2016, a teenage couple playing Pokemon Go. So I would look on YouTube, you know, just do a quick search, Google it, and see if you can't find that video. It's a short video, and it had some, actually there's some pictures, okay? So right before the show tonight, I put a picture on my Instagram page on my stories, okay? It's at the Cryptid Huntress. And you can go, and I believe that that picture that I put on there is a still shot from that video. Okay, so go to the Cryptid Huntress on Instagram and check out my stories, and you will see a still shot from that video on there. You can find it when you look up the Loveland Frogman. It's a picture that will come up in the images on your search engine, and it just looks like a frog with two glowing yellow white eyes in the water. I believe that's from that video. I have not seen the video. I've only seen the still shots. But yeah, they were,
okay.
See, they were playing Pokemon.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to do some digging.
I think that was the issue, is that they're playing Pokemon Go. They're looking for, you know, like avatars and all that kind of stuff. And so people thought it was kind of a joke, I guess. But, you know, I can't say for sure that that picture is the Loveland Frogman. I didn't look into that specifically when I was viewing it. But I can say that traveling salesman and the police officers did see actual beings, for sure. They saw
it
the Loveland Frogman.
It still surprises me that we have all this around us, and yet no one can get a good picture or video, and even if they do, no one believes it anyway.
I agree. I agree with that. It is very interesting. Just like with Bigfoot, you know. I mean, although there's lots of videos out right now and trail cams and all that, where there's pretty clear pictures and videos these days. But with the Frogman, I mean, the pictures that I saw did not look super legit. of some of the alleged frogmen, but that one that's on my Instagram, the still shot from that Pokemon Go video, it could be a gigantic frog in the water. It could, but I don't. It's so easy to hoax stuff these days, you know. You just don't know.
Yeah.
The media has definitely done their job in. I don't know what phrase you would use, but like pretty much taking away the credit of any picture whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, and there's also all the cover-ups too. You know, if these things were actually used and as part of a black project or some sort of time traveling project, you know, contact with ETs and all that kind of stuff, who knows? According to my data, it's kind of there's a vested interest in not letting the public know about these things. So there's going to be a cover-up. And, you know, we may not know a whole lot about them other than, you know, people remote viewing it and stuff like that. Our government's not going to tell us.
No, definitely not. You know, that goes to, you ask these pictures today, time and stuff. There are pictures, there's bodies, there's everything. There's all the evidence you need, but it will not be exposed unless the government allows it. Until the government allows it, it will not be exposed. They will threaten you, your family, whatever. They'll make you say, hey, it was a hoax, I don't have this, whatever. it won't be shown. They've got all the evidence they need. They've got it all.
See, even if they did allow it and have, you know, just let everything loose, that would actually scare me more, because there's a reason behind it and there's something that we're probably not seeing.
Well, that's true too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we got all the evidence. It's all out there. But it's just not allowed out there.
Okay. Matt wants to say it is not allowed for the evidence to be shown.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Well, and the real researchers that are out there doing a lot of the research, boots on the ground like Matt, and our team out there, we don't expose all of our evidence, you know, all the time.
No.
Because of the... Not only it's not really the scrutiny. I don't think any of us care about that. But what's the point? You know, what's the point? I mean, people are either not going to believe it or avoid it anyways. You know, in some way. So
yep.
You got to look at that angle too. Some of the people with the best research are not giving out their evidence.
I've got a video right now. You've seen it, Jessica. Several people are wanting it, but it don't exist.
Well, you're gonna get to expose that on my show, The Cryptid Huntress, one day, Matt Dell. Live and direct. I'm gonna bring you on whenever you're ready.
I know, I gotta get time. I'll be on there sometime. I promise you I would, so I will eventually.
Okay. You bring that video.
You've seen it.
And it's one of the most extraordinary videos I've ever seen in my life. Barry Littleton and I talk about that video all the time, literally all the time. I actually was interviewed by Grant Cameron with White House UFO not too long ago, and he and I was discussing that with him, actually, and he said that might be one of the biggest disclosure pieces ever. So he was like, you have to get Matt on your show. And he has to show that video. He's like, I'll make sure everybody tunes in. It'll be prime time. So we'll talk, Matt. We'll talk.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, because but why have you not shown that evidence before, though, Matt? Like, is it because of the disclosure part of it, or it's just what's the reason? I know.
Okay.
I just wanted you to tell everybody.
Well, the reason I don't is because. Of course, I worked with Angela Scheer, and she kept all her witnesses, the people's homes, she kept all them. They wanted to remain anonymous. So she has kept all that stuff. She said that she would not, you know, she gave them her word when she was investigating. And so I'm keeping my oath to her by not exposing it.
Fair enough.
Because we know that thing would go viral. It would go viral,
yeah,
but
it will.
That's the reason I don't do it. It's loyalty to her and her research, our research.
Yeah.
That's right, Matt, because you were part of that.
Exactly. Yep.
That's great. Well, you know, let's keep the memory of Angela Scheer alive and keep up to her standards and always remember to talk about Dale Houston, her best friend, and I'd say boyfriend. And it's just always good to talk about Angelia. And so I tell you what, now we're going to go for the last word. We're going to have Matt first, Kyler, and then I'm going to have the last question for Jessica Jones. So, Matt, what is your final question?
All right. So was that 2016? Was that the last sighting of that?
At the time of my research, yeah, that was the last sighting that I found, yes.
That's documented,
the time,
or that you have found documented?
Documented. Yes.
Okay.
But there had been several sightings from the 1950s, 1970s. I believe it went from 1955, 1972, and then during the 1970s, and then it took a hiatus, and then they show back up in 2016.
Because I believe it was in the 70s that in Evansville, Indiana, or Kentucky and Indiana, the Ohio River separates the two states from Kentucky and Indiana. They were seen of something very similar. These frogmen or something coming out of the lake or the river and going back in there. There's several reports around that. Now, if Cincinnati, of course, that's where the Ohio River, it goes through there too. So these things are pretty frequent then from what I could tell from with the Ohio River. And, of course, it's mm-hmm. probably the Ohio River comes off of the Mississippi. So it's hard to – these things are probably traveling quite a bit.
And yeah.
I'm right here at the Mississippi right now. So I look at that river, and it's muddy. It's huge. Have you seen that picture I put on Facebook earlier today? There could be all kinds of stuff in that. Could be coming from the ocean up into the rivers. Anything.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of them. There's several of them.
If you was talking about the whole monster, that kind of goes, okay, the Philadelphia Project, whenever they did they had the Philadelphia Project, there was two brothers that were Navy guys on that boat that when it disappeared and it reappeared, but they did not come back with the boat. Supposedly, two of those Navy guys in 1984, same age they were back in the 40s, were part of the Montauk Project, working there. Don't know if there's any fact or truth to it, but I thought that was kind of interesting. So there could be stuff moving through this time frame, and they're sending stuff back or whatever.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of time travel technology going on throughout the years. And Dr. John, you and I talked about that on my show with Project Pegasus. And, you know, there's no telling what kind of projects have been going on, especially in with the work that I do with the research and the remote viewing on chimeras and all these cryptids. I mean, we live in a very strange, strange world right now.
Well, that is true. We are not privy to what the government is doing, so we really can't say. We can only talk about artifacts and information that we have of past projects, like the Project Pegasus. So, you know, again, I'll have to say, Jessica, we don't know, and we don't know what to say about that. Is that an okay answer?
Perfect. Sounds good to me.
Well, I wouldn't call it perfect, but I would call it honest. All right, well, Matt, and does that take care of your question?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Kyler, what question do you have for Jessica Jones?
Well, could you actually explain exactly Primaris is? Because I've actually never heard that before, and I'm sure there's plenty of people listening that probably haven't heard of it either.
A chimera is a mix of different species of animals. Think of like ancient Egyptian gods, okay, like Horus and Anubis, okay, those are chimeras, a human-animal hybrid, okay. They don't just have to be animal-human hybrids. I believe they can be two different animal species combined as well. And throughout history, all the way to Sumerian times and all that stuff, there have been chimeras depicted in artwork and history books and things like that. So it's just combining two different, completely different species into one. That is a chimera. And we hear about, in the past few years, I've heard stories of chimeras being made. Trying to think of what was one of the chimeras. I'm thinking of cloning, actually, with the sheep. Dolly or Polly, whatever that sheep's name was. So that's different. It's not cloning. Chimeras are combining two things into one or more, two different species of, you know, human hybrids or just different animal hybrids. That's what a chimera is, from my understanding.
But the thing about a hybrid, though, it can't reproduce, though, can it?
Those two.
No. Because, like, if you got a mule, you got the donkey, and you got the horse, the interbred, and they made the mule, but they cannot reproduce. A mule cannot reproduce. So pretty interesting.
I can't imagine how incredibly painful this would be if this is something that you were designed into.
Mm-hmm. Sad. Yeah.
Which would, yeah, totally make sense why you were seeing them as sad, because, I mean, that could totally be a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, Tyler, thank you very much. And I'll say my last question is, Jessica, will you please be back? Because you're always a great guest. You got great information. And so do you think you might come back with us?
Absolutely. Anytime. You just let me know when. I'll be here.
Okay, great. And I want to say that tomorrow, Wednesday, now what is the date, Jessica?
The 21st, tomorrow, Wednesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern.
At 1 p.m. Eastern, mm-hmm. Dr. John, that's me, will be a guest on The Cryptid Huntress, Glitch in the Matrix, and we're going to be talking about the Loveland Frogman Festival. So anyway, Jessica, I wanted to really thank you for being on here tonight. It's been a lot of fun. It's always good to have you, and we want to promote the great things that we're doing. We hope that the Loveland Frogman Festival is going to be a success. We hope you'll be able to make it with us, and we're going to have a great time putting it on. So, look, thank you very much for being here. And Matt Delf, thank you very much for your marvelous investigative reporting from New Orleans, Louisiana. And so just recap what you have shown us.
Like I said, this whole area is nothing, but it's a strange energy. Found out, of course, I went to the dungeon, and they said that the old vampire does not hang out in there anymore. And to these people, you know how a lot of people say, oh, a vampire's real. The locals down here, they'll flat out tell you, yeah, they're real. They said that I was talking to one, and they were talking about what was kind of cool was they said the ones you got to watch out for, they're harder to detect, are the, I forget the name of them, but they have been turned as a human. Some these vampires are species of vampires. It's just like made or born a vampire. And then you have the ones that they turn just regular humans into a vampire. And they said those are the harder ones, and they're dark, that they're not friendly. But, yeah, a lot of history in this area. I'm going to do some more. I'm going to go hit down, probably stroll down Bourbon Street here in just a few minutes and see what kind of trouble I can get into. But
be careful, man. Keep doing great investigative reporting for ScaryCast. We'll see you next week. Kyler, we'll see you next week. And Jessica, again, thanks. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, the 21st
Thank
of December,
you.
1 p.m. On The Cryptid Huntress, A Glitch in the Matrix. So thanks a lot. We'll see everybody next time. Everybody say goodbye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, guys. Good night.
Goodbye. Good night.